You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hey, Kate, what are you listening to?
What a waste.
Oh, it can't be that bad.
No, it's a song.
Oh, what's that from?
And welcome back to another episode of What's That From? Exploring musicals we don't know, but probably should. I'm Kate.
And I'm Josh. And this week, we're exploring the musical Wonderful Town.
Episode 19, the big 1-9, baby.
We're getting up there.
We're getting up there. I mean, we are like almost celebrating our 20th anniversary. How fun.
How fun, and maybe something exciting coming our way.
Ooh. Oh, what a wonderful sound, a wonderful town, a wonderful
Oh, and what a wonderful world.
Yep.
So, Kate, I think it might be your week to do the 30-second plot challenge.
I think you are correct. That's true. All right.
30 seconds on the clock.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And away we go.
Two sisters move from Ohio to the big city, being New York. One's a actress, dancer, performer. One's a writer. They both, the one who's an actress, dancer, is like super pretty and cute. The other one that's a writer, like really wants to be a successful writer. Through a series of events, they each like find love and love for each other and love for the wonderful town.
And you still got 10 seconds.
Oh my gosh. I was so stressed.
Keep going. You got five.
New York. They love it. There's a conga line and...
That's it. And that's what I needed. I was waiting for that. So I'm glad you got that in there.
Yeah. Yep. It was important.
That was really good.
Oh, thank you.
It's a kind of a quirky show. It's like a golden age, like quirky, like you like meet a bunch of like a cast of like crazy characters that just pop up and go away. And there's
a ragtag group of individuals.
Yeah. It's one of those.
Yeah, it's one of those where, like, someone moves from the Midwest to the big city, and then they face their hardships. Somebody tells them no, and they get a real chip on their shoulder, and they just keep going.
And they keep working at it. It's like Thoroughly Modern Millie, but Thoroughly Modern Millie, with a different name. And another girl.
It's like a Thoroughly Modern Millie, but Thoroughly Modern Millie. Couldn't have said it better myself, Josh.
So let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
It takes place in 1935.
In good old Greenwich Village.
They set us up. It's a classic Bernstein opening of a show where it's like established we're in the big city. And it's like, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like chaotic music. And everybody's like, ooh, where are we? And somebody's like, we're in New York. And it's like, oh, we're in New York.
And they're all like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then they're like, New York? I love this town. And like everyone just keeps repeating the name of like where they all are. And everyone's like, not Christopher Street. You know, like everyone's.
Yeah. It's cute. It's super cute. It's really cute. Exciting. I think it's a great opener.
Me too.
Yeah.
I could visualize it perfectly. They're like a bunch of sightseers. Yeah. I'm like, how sweet. So it's the two sisters, Ruth and Eileen, coming from good old Ohio. They come to New York. And they're like, we are going to take on the town. And so then they get like a basement apartment. And they like get in there and then they're kind of like, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why did we ever leave Ohio?
And they got scared because, I mean, like the big city is like overwhelming. And especially when you first move, it's like,
the big city is overwhelming.
It's true. I mean, I can relate. Like you first get there and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, especially, like, I mean, this is in, like, the 1930s, so, like, they really just, like, came off a bus, like, stepped off with their $3, two bags, one B. Like, I think they are genuinely really overwhelmed.
And their apartment shakes because of dynamite from the construction below them on the subway, so they have a little shaky apartment, which is cute.
And they're like, oh, spooky. But then they're like, you know what? We're sisters and we're from Ohio. So we're going to do it.
Sisters.
So then they're like, then they They're like, we're gonna conquer New York. We're gonna get out there, but it doesn't really go too well for them.
Well, I mean, it goes pretty well for Eileen because she just kind of like breezes her way through. Not in like she's not in like cocky about it, but she has a little easier draw of the luck than Ruth does.
Yeah, people just like fall at her feet.
She got some food from a food samples guy and met like the head of the local Walgreens where she gets free lunch from him because he thinks she's cute.
And then Ruth is kind of like, darn, I do not have this quality. And she sings a really sweet song called like 100 Easy Ways to Lose a Man. Or well, that's what she calls like her like book that she could write because literally she cannot hold down a single man.
I think it's cute that it's like if I wrote a book because she's a writer. Like, I just love that.
Yes, I did
too. It played into that.
I'll be honest, the song had maybe one too many verses for me.
Yeah, it was a little listy for me.
But she was cute. She was cute. Liked her. So it was a sweet little, like, coy, playful relationship you get between Ruth and Eileen.
Yeah, I like their dynamic.
I do too. And then Ruth, like, finally like, talks her way into, like, a short story magazine where she meets Bob Baker.
Bob Baker. Yeah, all the names are like a radio host in the 1930s names.
Yeah, Bob Baker.
Bob Baker.
So then Bob is like, you know what? Okay, like, I like you, but like, I'm going to tell you, but because I like you, I'm going to tell you this is a waste of your time.
Right.
And he sings, rightfully named, What a Waste, a song that's basically about like all these people that have potential.
Crushing dreams.
Yeah, literally.
Literally just crushing her dreams.
It's like all these people, like basically listing people that had potential and like had talent, but they just wasted their time and money trying to pursue it. So then Ruth is like, whatever, I'm gonna leave you these stories. So then she does.
Then Eileen, she's been eating her lunches for free. And so she's finds herself like a little bit in love with Frank, the guy who works at the Walgreens, which is my favorite song.
So sweet.
Not to jump ahead to the music, but I love that song. And so she invites him over to dinner, and because she wants to set Ruth up with free lunches too. Because meanwhile, they're still like broke in New York.
They're still pouring from Ohio and in New York.
And so Bob comes over to the apartment looking for Ruth. After he read her stories. And Eileen's like, oh, come over to dinner too. So she's trying to like have like a nice like little New York City party with all the people that we've met so far.
Right.
And then the phone rings and it's Chick Clark, a newspaper editor.
Bob Baker and Chip Clark.
And he and Eileen met him in an elevator.
And he's and like a so, newspaper editor, and so he's calling.
She's just popular.
Yeah, she's
she just attracts all these energies.
True. So then there's like an upstairs neighbor, Wreck. Is this character's name. He's like
don't need to describe him very much. He's a wreck.
He's a wreck. Yeah. And he's a football player. And so he lives with Helen, and they Helen's mom doesn't know that she lives with like her boyfriend, so they have to like have Wreck in their apartment to try to like
hide him from the mom. Hide him. The mother-in-law.
Right, comes and visits. And then, like, Wreck just kind of, like, describes, like, his life and, like, his story and, like, his football stuff, which is funny.
Yeah, just, like, one of those, like, a character, like, pops in, sings a little song, and then you're like, great.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with what's going on, but it's cute.
But it's cute. Doesn't wreck the plot.
Right. It's cute. And then, so Eileen's invited Frank from Walgreens, Bob Baker from the short story place, and Chick Clark, the newspaper guy. And they have their little potluck supper, and they don't really realize like who is there for who. Like, she just kind of invited all these people over, and none of them have a real understanding of like everybody else's intentions, like who they are like there for. Right. Just kind of like a random group of people. And so they have kind of like this like awkward song conversation piece where they're just kind of like talking around things because they're like such different like vibes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then like Ruth and Bob are like talking about their stories and like, I don't know, eventually like, Bob ends up telling her off, and then she, like, runs away and, like, is crying.
Yeah, they have this kind of, like, this awkward moment where they don't, like, say what they really mean to each other. They just kind of, like, get, like, a, you know, like, when you get into a random fight about, like, nothing, and then you're kind of like, oh, why did we just get to a fight about nothing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then that, like, kind of all ensues, and then, Eileen is alone with Chick Clark, and, like, that's...
And he wants to, like, be, like... With her alone.
So he sends,
so he sends Ruth away on, like, a fake assignment.
He's like, you want to work for my newspaper? All right, we'll go interview the Brazilian Navy cadets.
And she's like, got it.
She's like, great, thank you. I just actually got a terrible, sad argument. So then she goes to interview them, and then their sole interest is to learn and dance the conga. A natural plot progression, I'd say. Makes total sense. So then they, like, follow Ruth home after she, like, agrees to teach them the conga. And
I like that Ruth, like, even though she's going through, like, all these hardships, like, she's not getting any wins throughout Act 1. She's really only ever losing as a character. But she still has, like, this funny, like, demeanor and, like, positive things. Like, she can teach these guys the conga and, like, have a big dance
number. Yeah, and she does.
Sure.
And she brings them all back to Christopher Street, and then everyone joins the conga line for the finale. And then Ruth, like, goes to Bob and gives him a piece of her mind. And then Eileen's,
like, pops in and is like, hey, what's going on? And then she gets arrested.
Then she's in jail for causing this conga line ruckus on Christopher Street. So that's how we close Act 1 with, like, a rousing conga number.
Love and that. And an arrest.
And an arrest. Honestly, if I could describe my ideal way to close an Act 1, it'd be with a conga line and a good arrest.
And on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. They did it right.
They did it right. Wonderful Tom, wonderful Act 1. Then in Act 2, Eileen's in jail, but she is, like, in charge of it. Like I said, she's got this, like, magnet, like, energy where she just draws everybody under her. Because she's just a nice person. And Officer Lonigan and his brigade are all Irish police officers. And so they think she's Irish because her name's Eileen.
Right.
And so they're, like, worshiping her as, like, their Irish god. And she's like, to be honest, I am not Irish. And they're like, shh. Don't tell us that. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
And then, so, like, Ruth comes and she's like, I swear I will bail you out, like, as soon as I, like, make this money. I'm gonna be a promoter for, like, a local nightclub called the Village Vortex. And so Ruth goes, like, suddenly Ruth is, like, the dancing queen.
She's like scatting.
She also is, like, she, like, just did the conga at the end of Act 1. Now she's, like, swing dancing. Like, she can do it all.
She likes all genres of music. She is a groundbreaker.
A groundbreaker. You thought Eileen was the one coming to sing and dance? No. Ruth is out here. She is swing dancing.
That's so true. Like, you would expect Eileen's character to have all those types of numbers, but it's, like, Ruth's, like, sassy, brassy energy. It's, like, really sells it.
So true. So then, like, that's hip happening. And, like, they do this, like, wonderful town swing. And, like, meanwhile, like, Rec kind of comes, like, there's also this side plot still with Rec and Helen, where, like, Rec is, like, pretending to be a wealthy art collector to win the approval of Helen's mom. And then Chick is frantically trying to call Eileen in prison, trying to, like, make things right. So this is just kind of, like, a wild series of people trying to get in contact with one another.
Right, everybody's just running all over New York City.
Yes.
Then Eileen's released from jail because of Bob from the magazine. And the sisters find out that their, like, landlord is, like, kicking them out of their apartment because Eileen was arrested and because, like, they are just, like, freaking out because of, like, this missing picture that he painted that Rec stole.
Yeah.
And, like, sold for $2 as the art person. Like, they just grabbed a random piece of painting they thought and sold it for for their like bit, but it actually was the landlord, so he's upset about that.
Yeah, so he's like trying to evict them.
And so they get evicted for a moment.
And then like this kind of was like kind of weird that like Eileen like discovers that Ruth like also likes Bob Baker, but I'm like, wait, also likes Bob Baker. I'm like, Eileen, girl, you got so much going for you. What the heck?
Yeah, wait, Eileen should just stick with the person she said she was in love with. Like, what about Frank from Walgreens? What did he do?
Yeah, what about
she just sang this beautiful
Justice
song about being
Frank
in love.
From Walgreens.
And now she moved on like Frank from Walgreens.
Yeah, let Ruth have her thing. Jeez. So then they re-sing their Ohio song because they're like, shoot, actually, why did we leave Ohio? This is so chaotic.
Part two, yeah.
Part two, yeah. And so then like Eileen is then confronted by the owner of the Village Vortex that like Ruth is the promoter for. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to make you a star. You're going to be a singer. And so then she like ends up becoming like a New York singer because she was like on the front page of the paper because of her like
arrest.
Very like Roxy Hart.
Very Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. Very like you're in jail. Let's make you a star.
Right.
So then their landlord is like, actually, wait a minute. You guys can come back now that you're making money and you're going to be
famous. Now that you're famous.
Yeah.
He's like, now that you're famous for the right thing. Yes.
Yes. Come back. So then
then Eileen finds out that Bob quit his job because his boss didn't agree with like Ruth's story about the Brazilian sailors and the conga. And so he quit. Honestly, good for him. Like, stick it to the man. And then they like admit their love for each other. And
yeah, well, Eileen is like, Bob, you love Ruth. And he's like, oh,
I do, I guess.
And then he's like, it's
and
love.
She's like, you do. And he's like, oh, it's love. And then he admits his love for her.
Yep. And then they just bebop around and live their life in a wonderful town.
And that's basically it. They just sing and dance and perform with all the sailors, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they come back?
It's just like a big old, like, I feel like it's just kind of everyone comes back and then they all sing a song together.
Well, like I said, like they're losing constantly. They like never win.
Yeah.
And then all the characters, and then finally in the end, they all do.
It feels like they're all chasing something, but it's always like the raw, like they're always two steps behind everything. So
it's very
really
on the town.
Chaotic.
Like they're just running around New York, like missing, like always like being there and like losing it.
And then they eventually catch it at the end. And then you're
and
like,
it's
nice.
Nice. Yeah. I enjoy it.
I enjoyed it too.
I really liked it, honestly. Like the music I thought was beautiful. I mean, Bernstein is just like awesome.
Yeah. I mean the music, I mean it's Comden and Green, right? Yeah.
Love Comden and Green.
Lyrics by Comden and Green and then music by Bernstein. Like it is really beautiful.
And you can't do this style musical better than Comden and Green. I feel like they just know how to do like the cute, quirky New York musical.
So coy and just so, yeah, very sweet. And Josh and I were just talking about this. Like, there's been like two major Broadway productions of Wonderful Town, but there have been like so many recordings of it. Like, I think there's 9 different recordings of the album. So, like, the music must be pretty good if this many
people
want to
hear it that many times.
Yeah. I was like, what the heck? Like, we could have listened to, like, 3 different versions of the same show, which I just think is so silly. Like, what?
I listened to the 2003 revival that was based on the 2000 City Center Encores staging that was done with Donna Murphy and Laura Benanti, directed by Kathleen Marshall and choreographed, who's a queen. And that City Center's production did so well, they brought it to Broadway. I love when that happens.
Yeah, me too.
And City Center's does a show and then it comes to Broadway. I'm like,
and I also
nice.
Love that because I feel like City Center always does like underappreciated shows. So then when they like gain enough appreciation to go back to Broadway, I'm like, the underdog is back
that
again.
That happens. I mean, like this show, Gypsy with Patti LuPone, Chicago,
right.
The revival started off as a City Center's encore production. Like,
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. So, but the original production debuted in 1953. Mm. It did pretty well. Ran for 559 yeah. performances. I don't think that's like anything to be feel bad about. That's a great run.
Right. It's a wonderful run.
Yeah. It's a wonderful town, and it's a
take a shot every time we say wonderful.
It was just wonderful. And George Abbott was the director.
King of Broadway.
Literally king of Broadway. Donald Sadler won Best Choreography for this production as well. Mm. So he like did the choreography.
So did Kathleen Marshall. It's a big dance show.
It is a big dance show. It has a lot of potential, and I think it's like, I don't know. I think it has a lot of great things to offer. And I mean, to like duly note, every Tony Award it was nominated for in 1953, it won. So it won Best Musical, Best Performance by Leading Actress in a Musical for Rosalind Russell, Best Choreography, Best Conductor and Musical Director, Lamon Engel, and Best Scenic Design for Raoul Penet Dubois. So like,
I think like this might be like one of the most well-received shows we've done.
I think so too. That was a sweep.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat MAME, but...
Can't beat MAME, but this... The Revival was nominated for Best Revival, Best Performance by Leading Actress for Donna Murphy, Best Performance by Featured Actress for Jennifer Westfield, Best Direction and Choreography for Kathleen Marshall, and she only won for choreography.
Yeah.
So
it's done? I mean, like, I feel like it's been recognized both times it's been produced on Broadway.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you, like, you should definitely watch the Tony Award performance for it. It's epic.
There also is like a televised version of it that they did like really back in the day.
1958.
That is on YouTube. Yeah, 1958.
Which that's like
super cool. That's super cool footage. I really love black and white like old Broadway performances on TV, like on the Ed Sullivan Show, things like that. I love those kinds of clips. So I thought it was cool skipping through that.
Yeah. I agree. And like the show, I think also just has like, what I like about how they have it set up is it's just like such a big show. I feel like it's like, yeah you're following like, obviously like Ruth and Eileen, but like there's so many random ensemble numbers. Like I feel like every time one person is singing, like suddenly everyone comes out and is like,
right.
So I just like, I think that the show is so fun in that way.
And it's like, in that way, it's like the main character is the town, like wonderful town. Like it's about like, just like the energy of where they're at. You know what I mean?
Wow. Like, that's a continuous
theme. Like rather than it being like those two girls to the main character, it's like,
right.
The fueling force behind it all is like where they are.
The wonderful town.
And who they meet wherever they are. It's just like all of those like.
Yeah, I love how, like, they advertise it as, like, Wonderful Town, the New York City musical.
Yeah.
I feel like that's correct.
And it is true, because this show's kind of, like, chaotic in subtle ways, and, like New York City is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, like, sometimes chaotic in, like, just chaotic ways, like New York City is.
Yeah.
Like, there would just be, like, a conga line that travels, like, all the way back to a town that leads to an arrest that leads to a, you know what I mean?
Right. Why you're, like, you're not succeeding in your dreams.
Yeah. Wow.
New York City.
New York City. A classic. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I thought that the show was great. And, like, you said, the 2003, like, the Broadway revival that came from City Center. With, like, Donna Murphy and Laura Benanti, that did eventually go to Broadway, eventually ended up having, like, Brooke Shields in it. Like, there were some, like, big people Brooke that Shields. Came and went.
She floats around Broadway.
She does. She's a floater on the good old the Great White Way.
Yeah.
She does float around. I don't hate it, though.
Yeah, me either.
I think it's pretty fine. Good for you, Brooke.
What would you rate Wonderful Town?
Oh, I'm just such a sucker for a golden age piece. I would probably have to give it like an 8.5.
Yeah, I think I'd give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
It was like a silly thing to follow, and I think I'm easy to grade it so high. Rate it so high. Like I'm grading it. It's easy to rate it so high because there's not like that much weight to it. So like, it's just like easy to enjoy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. I would agree. It just makes me, like, just listening to it just makes me, like, feel happy.
It's great subway music.
It's great. Like, it's, yeah. And it, like, it just fills you with, like, that golden age, like, zest for life. Do you know what I mean? When you listen to, like, a golden age orchestration and you just, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
Like, the overture from a gold, like, any golden age show, it just always hits different.
Overture? I barely know her.
Zing! Bazinga! Got him! Yeah, but I, so like, speaking of overtures, what was your favorite song?
Oh, definitely Little Bit in Love. And I really like Ohio, too. I think there's, I heard it on the Broadway channel, like, so many times growing up, and not knowing the context of it, and then they did it on Glee, too. Shout out to Glee. But I really like that.
Yeah. I like
Ohio,
songs
a little
too.
Bit in love.
Yeah.
And I like all of the dance music. I mean, like, Conquering New York, I like all of the dance music.
Yeah, the dance music is really fun.
Yeah. The arrangements are really good in the 2003 revival.
So good. Just, like, yeah. So big. Very epic. I really liked, which song is it? The one that, like, I think it's the, What's the one where they're like the one that they sing on the Tonys with the like fish and they're like gazoon tight? Thank you. You're welcome.
That's the swing.
I loved that. I didn't really understand it, but I just like laughed out loud when I listened to it because I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, it's super funny. Super
it's
cute.
So random, but the dancing was like when I saw it and the Tony performance, I was like, whoa. And like the whole like great. Ensemble was like gazoon tight. Thank you. You're welcome. Like, they have all these, like, cute little, like, talky moments, and I was like, whoa, that was epic. And I also like the Christopher Street.
Yeah, I like the opening of it, too. It's very fun opener. I was going to say, I really like the Wonderful Town swing, because it feels like a very, like, flip on West Side Story. Like, it kind of feels, like, cool a little bit, but, like, in a very positive way. Like, da-da-da, ba-da-da. Like the rhythms and like the speaking and the jumping in, like all sound like West Side Story to me.
So true. That's very true. Yeah, I really did. I liked, and I also, of course, really liked the Little Bit in Love song. But it was because I'd heard you sing it, which I was like, oh.
My face.
I was like, how do I know this? I was like, oh, yes. I was like, what's that from? And here we are. Then we made this podcast, and then I knew what it was from. I think that if you are like waltzing around any sort of town, put this on in your headphones and you will just feel transported.
You have a wonderful experience.
A wonderful experience in a wonderful town. It'll be transformative. Just take our word for this.
And make sure to follow us on Instagram at WTF_BWAY. That is WTF_BWAY. Because we post our musical reveal Mondays, and on Wednesdays, our episodes go live.
Woohoo! We like to, and next week, our big 20th episode, the 20th birthday of WTFBWAY, we might have a little surprise coming at you, a little special guest, so be sure to keep your eyes peeled, your ears opened, and check out that Instagram for our updates.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. What a waste of a good podcast today. I'm trying to make
what's that
good
from?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheatre.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.